Would turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 139. Book of Psalms, chapter 139. We're continuing tonight on the ladies in the home. And just have another week or two, and then we'll move on and look at some more aspects of the home unit. And maybe just another week or two of this. Psalms, chapter 139. And we're continuing what we started last week on the women have needing to try to avoid some certain attitudes in the home, and looked at some examples in Scripture of how they could greatly affect the rest of the home and their husband and decisions that he even makes. There's things that they can help try to stir things in the right direction and not the wrong direction. As Jezebel stirred up the heart of her husband, and it took down an entire nation, so that's not a good thing. So we looked at several things that she can do to be a tremendous influence on her husband, and some things that, some traits that she should try to avoid. And so tonight I want to look at for a few minutes on a negative attitude in the home towards herself. A negative attitude in the home toward herself. I've seen this played out in homes and different counseling things, and it's real easy for a lady, a mother, a wife, to have thoughts about herself, especially when it comes to the area of childbirth and before and after. And the devil really will work on her emotions and work on her her feelings about herself during those times. And not just during those times, man, there's all kind of times the devil wants to work on her about the way she looks and the way she feels about herself. And this is something that is, it's a lot bigger deal than what we realize. That there's a lot of ladies that struggle with stuff like this, not just in church, but outside of church. And I know of several that, even have to have medicine at times to help cope with some of these things. And I'm not going to get into that, but I just want to look at what the Bible has to say about some of this tonight for a few minutes, and try to encourage the ladies that that's one thing in the home that could be a hindrance to the home and cause problems in a marriage between a husband and a wife, and even with children in the home, if she cannot find a way to love herself. If she can't love herself, then she can't accept herself for who she is or for who God made her to be. Then she's not going to love God the way she's supposed to. And if she's not loving God the way she's supposed to, she cannot love her husband the way that she's supposed to. And all that goes back to her just trying to accept who she is and who God made her to be. And the world and social media has made that extremely difficult, because they promote this attitude of, you're not good enough, you need to change the way you look. You don't need to look like this. You need to look like all these people. And they'll put them in magazines. And here lately, they're using bigger women, I guess, because they offended the big women. But it's all. But even with the bigger women, their skin's like perfect. I mean, they do all these things. And what they're trying to tell other women is, you're not good enough the way you are. And so that's been from the very, all this stuff, we can go all the way back to the garden, and we can find Satan starting his little plot, and we can follow that thing all the way through time and all the way through history, and we can see that this is all a part of his plan. Because he told Eve, you can be like gods, knowing good and evil. And at the end, what he was saying to her was, the way God made you is not good enough, you could be even better. And he's been trying to do that ever since, and it's a dangerous thing. So we have women today that have a hard time loving themselves. And it causes major problems in a marriage. It causes problems in the physical relationship in a marriage. It causes problems in the home because an attitude is developed because she does not love herself. And she has an attitude because she doesn't like the way she looks, or she doesn't like this about herself, or whatever the case might be. Psalms chapter 139, verse number 13. Y'all know these verses we're going to cover tonight, but we're going to go over them again for sake of the study. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. So my Bible tells me that God states very clearly that the body that we live in, the body He gave us, were fearfully and wonderfully made. Dr. Tabb said there's over 100,000 miles of blood vessels and approximately 45 miles of nerves in a human body. It's amazing that God puts all that in there and it all works together and it all comes together for your body to work. And God designed that and He made that. Billions of people in the world and there's no two fingerprints alike. Isn't that amazing? God made each individual person. And we've been trained, I guess, in society, if there is some kind of deformity, is what they would call it, or something that's different about a person, then that's a bad thing. But I'm going to show you some verses where God said, hey, I made them that way. Amen. Look with me in verse number 17 of the same chapter. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Verse 17 states that God thinks about each person He created individually. Man, if we could get a hold of that, the Creator of the heaven and earth made you who you are. And He made you you. He did not make you so that you could look like somebody in Hollywood. He didn't make you so you could look like another actor or an actress. He made you to be you. And so, this idea that the way that God made you is not good enough is very dangerous. And it's crept into churches and into homes. And it's ended up causing problems in some homes. You know, I got a kind of a crude illustration. My dog has no clue what it looks like at all. I mean, he just goes about his day doing whatever he wants to do. He's literally tearing my house down piece by piece. I mean, I beat him. Hope Pete is not listening, but I beat my dog. And he still just wags his tail and goes back to doing it when I leave. Well, the other day he was in the house and he went by the curio cabinet. Is that what it's called? Like I said that, right? Walked by there and there's a mirror there and he looked at it and got down on all fours and said, "Hurr." I mean, he was upset what he saw. He thought there was another dog in the house, I guess, and started growling. And I said, man, that's how some people look at themselves in the mirror. Amen. If he never would have looked in that mirror, he never would have had a clue. I still don't think he knows what he's looking at. But that's how some people look at themselves. God specifically and purposefully designed each and every single person. I mean, He knows every grain of sand. He knows every hair on your head or every one that's fallen off your head. He knows every single one of them. I don't know if I'm the only one thinking this tonight, but man, to think that the Creator of the heaven and earth made me specifically. Out of all the stuff He made, and the Bible said He formed me in the womb of my mother. God did that and specifically made me and made you, made somebody special, made somebody important. It's important to God. Say, nobody cares, nobody likes me. That's what the devil wants people to think. And thanks to social media, that's amplified. Because they don't get enough likes. They don't get the like button hit enough. Well, who cares? The Creator of the heaven and earth likes you. And He made you the way that you are. And I preached this last Saturday at the youth meeting, and it went over like a lead balloon. But I have a problem with moms putting makeup on their little girls. I do. I got a problem with it. You're taking a young lady that's beautiful. God made her that way. And you're putting makeup. And I know sometimes they want to play dress and play makeup or something like that. I don't know. I don't know where they learned that from, to want to be able to do that. But they take, and there's these moms that take their girls and they put them in these pageants. And they put them up in front of people to be judged. And I've seen pictures of these young ladies. I've seen moms say, look at my little girl that was in a pageant. And I said, that's not the same girl. She looks 20 years old. No, she's only 11. But she looks 20. And puts her up in front of a bunch of people to be judged. And only one winner. And then all these young ladies are wondering why they're not good enough. And when they take the makeup and put them on them, even as a child, you're trying to say the way that God made you is not good enough. Let's see if we can make it better. And now there's women today that have to wear makeup all the time because they wore makeup growing up and all the chemicals and the things in the makeup have messed their face up. And now they have to wear it. Amen. And if they do, I mean, and thank God they wear it. I've seen some in Walmart that said, wow, you did not put on makeup today. And, you know, I encourage them, go get makeup, put it on. Amen. But, I mean, there's a lot of chemicals goes into that stuff. If you're going to take a little girl who's beautiful, I mean, just, you know, and I know there's times where as a teenager they go through changes and all this kind of boys do too. Amen. Boys just grin and bear it, go through it, and they turn out whatever they turn out like. The girls, they start covering it up and all those kind of things. And the next thing you know, they get older and they keep wearing makeup and keep. And the next thing, it's got to get thicker and it's got to get bigger and it's got to get brighter. They raise their children to be judged. Take pictures of them. They want people to like it, to accept it. And if it doesn't happen, then you wonder why we got 18, 19-year-old girls. Nobody loves me. Nobody likes me. And then they go to extremes in their look, trying to get somebody's attention. And where did it start? It probably started when they were 5 or 6 years old and mama started putting makeup on her. At first it was fun, but somewhere in that little girl's mind, the way God made her wasn't good enough because she had to have this. That's dangerous. And as she grows up into an adult and she gets married and she struggles with her identity, and she struggles with who she is. God specifically made us. You realize that we are the object of God's love. Man, what a thing. And who cares what a stupid boy thinks? Amen? Who cares? God's got somebody for you. And maybe he doesn't. Maybe, but whatever God's will is, you'll be the happiest in that. So each child of God needs to come to a place in their life where they accept themselves for who God made them. And I realize there's things that we can do to ourselves to change ourselves and things like that, but God made us who we are. He made us unique. None of us have the same fingerprints. There's no way you could do that on your own. God designed everybody this way. Look in Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. So if somebody has a birthmark, anybody ever seen anybody with a birthmark on their face, like just in a real obvious place? Do what? Oh, a rooster's on her eyelid. There was a young man went up to Carson the other day and said, man, I think you're super cool. He's like, I think you're cool. He's like, why am I cool? He's like, because your eye. I mean, we've noticed Carson, and he's like, man, I think that's cool. You know what that means? God, cool, that's cool God made you that way, man. That's awesome. My eye doesn't do that. I know people that can do weird things with their limbs, pop them out of socket or something. I mean, I don't know why you'd want to do that, but they can do it. Everybody's different, and it's a good thing, but society wants to make you think that's a blemish. God messed up, so let's cover it up. But is that not what they try to preach and teach? And, well, God must have messed up with you. No. I'm going to get to the reason some people have things that are different about them. And if people would grasp that and get a hold of it, man, I tell you what, the sky's the limit for what God could do with you. Verse number 40, chapter 43, verse 7 in Isaiah. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for what? My glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Every single person, we know this from Revelation 4:11, is created for the glory and honor of God. And so if God's going to make somebody with a problem, what we would view as a problem, God doesn't view it that way. God views it as an opportunity to give him glory. I've seen artists take moldings and different things or pictures, and I would look at it and say, you call that art? I don't understand it. I think it's ridiculous. I think it looks dumb. But it makes that guy happy. Amen? Look with me in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 21. Same chapter. Isaiah chapter 43, verse number 21. The Bible says, this people have I, what? Formed for myself. They shall show forth my what? Praise. God made you for his glory and for his praise. And we need to understand that. Look with me in Exodus chapter 4, verse 11. Each person, even if they're born with some kind of what we would call a deformity or some kind of physical illness or sickness or something about them that we would consider to be not normal, we would even call it handicap. I mean, we got all kind of phrases for somebody that's born a certain way. But I tell you, in God's eyes, they're beautiful. And they're fearfully and wonderfully made. And God has a purpose for them. And that purpose might be the people that they're in the family with. That purpose might, I mean, who knows? God's got a purpose and a reason. And man, what an honor for God to use you. Exodus chapter 4 and verse number 11. The Bible said, the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? And I know this is hard to swallow for people. Or who maketh the what? The dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? That's hard to swallow sometimes. And I know this is one of those messages tonight that should touch everybody in here. But I'm specifically talking to the ladies, trying to encourage you that God loves you and he made you the way that you are. And this is something that women struggle with. And I don't know if anybody here would admit to that, but they do. Amen? I know you're not going to amen, ladies. That's fine. But even here we find that some of these things that, like I said, the world would consider them to be handicapped, God said, I made them. And I made them for my glory and for my praise. But we live in a world today that we're so full of stinking pride and we're so full of selfishness and we're so full of care about what other people think about us. And there's times that a husband could look at his wife and say, I think you're beautiful. I love you. You're beautiful, man. I mean, you're just absolutely beautiful. And she still sit there and think, well, I got to change this and I got to do this. I mean, when God brings two people together, God puts a love and an attraction in that man's heart for her. Amen? I've seen some people where I said, whew, how in the world do you go home with her every night? I have, man. I'm thinking of one right now that doesn't live far from here. How in the world? But I tell you what, he thinks she's the most beautiful thing that ever walked. You know what? God has to do that. Amen. I mean, I've met couples before. They love each other. And he says, man, I think she's the most beautiful thing that ever walked the face of the earth. And God puts that down in them, that attraction. Say, hey, I love. And there is somebody for everybody. This has been proven true. Amen. You can even find somebody at Walmart. But there's homes today and marriages that are strained because they're physically strained. You know what I'm talking about. And there's aggravation in the home because he says, I love you the way you are. I love you. I think you're beautiful. I don't have any problem. And in her mind, it's not good. She's not good enough. And she has to continue to make changes and continue to do things because she's trying to search for some kind of approval when all the approval she needs is standing right in front of her saying, I love you. I'm coming home every night. I'm here. I love you. But it causes a strain in a home. It causes a strain in a marriage. And she's constantly trying to do something to what she thinks is bettering herself. And in doing that, it might be helping her physically, but in doing that, it's causing a strain in the home. Because now the husband's thinking, well, am I not good enough for you? Amen? And we know we're not. But now it makes us feel that way. Amen? The husband's like, I love you. I think you're beautiful. But obviously, my opinion doesn't matter because you still continue to try to make changes and you still continue to try to do things. Amen? Realize that God made us the way He did, even if there is some kind of abnormality or something about themselves. Are you still in Isaiah? No, you're in Exodus. Go to Isaiah again. Isaiah chapter 64. I hope this is okay tonight. It's good instruction. And I tell you, you know, that there's certain times where this stuff is heightened. The Bible talks about a woman when she's in travail, like during childbearing times, the devil really works on her mind during those times. She's hurting. Her body's shaped differently during that time. There's all kind of stuff going on in her mind, and the devil really, really works on it. That's why we have to be the men that we ought to be of God to try to encourage and help her. Hey, man. Comments like, man, you're getting big. That's not a good idea. That doesn't help. That takes us in the opposite direction of what we're working on here. I'm talking about when she's pregnant. And I don't ever ask a woman how far along she is unless I know 150% that she's pregnant. But sometimes you ask and she's like, I'm not pregnant. It doesn't help anything. Amen. Isaiah 64, verse 8. The Bible says, but now, O Lord, Thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou art our potter, and we are all the work of thy hand. I hope you can see through all this that the Lord made us, and there might be things about yourself that you don't like. Maybe you don't like the eye color. You don't like the hair color. And I shouldn't get on that. Amen. Everybody likes different hair color. But I don't like this. I don't like that. I want to change it. People want to change their eye color. You can ask Brother Stephen. He lived over in China, and the people over there want to look like Americans, and Americans want to look like them. There's some that try to be darker. If they're light-skinned, they want to be darker. But if they're dark, they all want to be pale-skinned. And they'll put on makeup to try to make themselves look super, super white. And the ones that are super, super white want to be super, super dark. You say, what are you getting at? I'm talking about it's a constant thing in our mind that we are not good enough the way we are. And when God brings two people together that love each other, that should be good enough. Amen? And so there, it causes distress and problems. You know that there's people that sue their parents over some kind of abnormality, physical abnormality in their life. There's actually people that took their parents to court like they had something to do with the way that they were born. They don't. God has something to do with that. And sometimes we scratch our head and say, Lord, why? And you know what his answer is? For my glory and my praise. And we'll understand it when we get to heaven completely. But right now, we should just be satisfied with my grace is sufficient for thee. Paul had that physical infirmity that he lived with that God gave him. Called a messenger of Satan to buffet me. What does that mean? It was an infirmity that he had that he lived with his entire life. He prayed three times for God to take it away. Three times he prayed. And after the third time, he said, Lord, I'm going to live with it for your glory and your honor. But it was a button that Satan can push. The messenger of Satan to buffet me. Just every time Paul began to go through things, the devil would come up and remind him of his infirmity. And he'll do that with anybody. He'll do that with ladies. During a time of childbearing or during any other time during a woman's life, there's times where the devil will just really, really get after her about something about herself. Paul prayed three times for her to be removed, and after that he said, most gladly therefore would I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Amen. I think that's a good pattern to follow. If there's something that happens to us in some kind of infirmity or some kind of physical thing that happens, the pattern that Paul shows us is go to God about it, serious prayer, three times. And if God doesn't take it away, then say, Lord, I'm going to live with it for your glory and honor. And God may take it away and he might not. Either way, give him the glory. Live with it. Amen. Whatever deformity or flaw that one may have, God will give them the grace to bear it. He promised he would do that. He promised he would do it. There's some signs that Brother Tab put in this book that were signs of a person in self-rejection. Someone that rejects the way that God made them, they're not happy with it. There's some signs. And I'm going to give these to you and then we'll be done. Some outward signs. There's outward signs. Somebody who overdoes dress and makeup, they overdo all those things. They're not satisfied with the way that God made them. And I'll go a step further. It's actually in here also, but one who's very faddish in their dress. They keep up with all the fashions and fads. They keep up with the trends and all those things. In the way that they dress. They have to have certain name brand clothing or whatever the case might be. These are all signs that they're not happy with what they have and what God's given them. There's nothing wrong with having nice things, but you know what I'm talking about. There's people that go over and aboard trying to be fashionable or trying to do these things to stand out so that people notice them, so they get more like buttons on the internet. And they just go above and beyond every new fashion that comes out. If there's constant self-criticism, they're always criticizing themselves. That's a sign that there's something going on there that they need to get with God and try to pray about and get victory over it. If they attempt to hide physical defects by covering them up with makeup, clothes, or jewelry, always trying to do that. There's some inward signs. Some inward signs. Some of the inward signs are when someone has a problem just trusting God. I mean, if you're not happy about yourself, why are you going to trust God with anything else? And so it's problem trusting God. A person who's extremely shy, sometimes that's a sign that there's some kind of self-awareness that they think something's wrong. And they'll be real shy and they won't want to talk to anybody. They feel inferior when they're around other people. These are things and these are things people go through every day. We meet them every day when we go out. We meet them in churches. We meet them in other places. And there's something going on in their heart and mind, and the devil will play on that as much as he can, especially if you're in a Christian home. Because he does not want any kind of unity between you and your husband. Because if he can get in your home, he can get in the church. And he wants to get after this book. A person who is constantly comparing him or herself to others. Look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. This is the last place I'll have you turn. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. We don't ever give invitations on Wednesday nights, and I'm not going to tonight either, but what I'm saying is I pray that as we go through some of these studies, and I encourage the men to do the same thing we were going over the men, that you take this stuff home and take it to heart and pray about it and ask God to help you with these things. And you know, if you say, you might say, I don't have any problems with any of those things, and praise God. But just like I did at this camp meeting this week, there were some messages I sat through that I endured until the end. And when it was done, I prayed and said, Lord, would you please search my heart? Was there anything that was said that I need? Amen. And you know what? There's a couple of them that God actually showed me something. Said, hey, I wanted to tell you this. And I said, man, really? From that guy? He said, yes. You know why this book was opened? It doesn't matter what rooster or donkey's behind the pulpit. This book's open. God can tell you something. Both of those preached in the Bible, amen. A rooster and a donkey. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare with ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are what? Not wise. You're not wise to do that. You're not wise to do that. Don't look. And I'm telling you, this is one of the things that's so dangerous about social media. The grass always looks greener. And I've got a message that I'm going to be preaching here soon entitled Influencers. But there's these people that go out and they try to influence others to buy product, and they try to influence people in certain directions when it comes to merchandise or whatever the case might be. But a lot of those people, if you really saw their real life, that's not who they are in real life. It's a facade. It's pretend. There's people that will go to great lengths to make themselves look a certain way. And social media has all these filter things that they can put on there. I don't know how any of them work. Supposedly it makes you look better than what you really are, or changes something. And you could do all these things, and then people want to hit the like button, you know, and then sometimes someone will take a picture and they'll say, I didn't put any filter on this, and they're lying. But they do all these, and it's all about trying to get somebody to approve of the way that you look. What it's all about. And the reason they're doing it is because they saw somebody else doing it. And somebody else got a bunch of likes. And so now they want that same approval So they're going to do what they can to make it happen. And I'm telling you, it's not healthy. That's not healthy for a Christian. That's not healthy for a marriage. It's not healthy for a home. And if your husband tells you, "I think you're beautiful the way you are," amen. Don't say, "You're lying. You don't believe that." They're laughing because they know this is true. Say, "Thank you." Amen. Because even if he is lying, he's trying to be nice. I'm going to stop. Later on, as we go through our study on the home, there's a chapter in here that there's 10 features about yourself. And this is for men or women. There's 10 features about yourself that you cannot change. You can't change anything about it. You can't change what year you were born. You can't change where you were born. And there's several of them in there. These are things that people struggle with. And you say, what are you getting at throughout this whole thing? What are you getting at? What I'm getting at is God made you the way you are. He knew how things would turn out. He knew who you'd marry. And he designed the body. And it gets older and things change. And he knows all that. And he gave you somebody, if you're married in here, loves you and cares for you. Amen. They should. And there's been some that haven't. But I'm telling you, that doesn't change the fact of who you are and who God made you. And don't let anybody convince you of anything different. And don't go out trying to seek that approval. Amen? Some of you ladies have kids that look up to you and they say, "Man, mommy's so beautiful." Amen? "Man, I got a cool mom. I like my mom. She's pretty." But yet they always see mommy trying to change things and it's always different. She's always trying to do something different. One of these days they're going to think, "Well, I've got to do that in order for people to like me." Amen? And if they ever hear your husband, and your kids ought to see your husband flirting with you sometimes. "Oh, Daddy, no." Amen? They ought to see that sometimes. But if they always see you pushing him away because you don't believe that what he said is true, it's not good. That's the attitude we should try to avoid. I hope this helped tonight. All right, let's all stand.